Welcome back, Midwest Vegan Radio.
In the house.
Episode 21.
21.
What do we got?
We're doing episode 21, and it's time to shake your buns.
All right.
Is that okay?
I'll allow it.
Okay. That's it. Just get ready to shake your buns.
You're listening to Midwest Vegan Radio.
We're sharing all our secrets.
We're sharing all of our secrets just for you special listeners.
With your hosts, Dallas.
That sounds so good.
And Ryan.
Pass the noosh.
What up? I'm Ryan.
I am Dallas.
Elliot is over there.
Hello.
This is very deliberate.
Why are we talking so slowly?
It's not slow. It is with intention.
Oh, all right.
And now
so it is.
We have no more intention. It's a free-for-all, people. Okay.
So.
Today, I really want to talk about this idea about vegans as judgmental. Vegans as judgmental people.
I like it.
I think we are often accused of being such. Mm-hmm. We are often afraid of being such.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about that.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people could relate to it.
I think they can. I got stories.
Yeah.
Elliot's
that's kind
even
of the point
stories.
Of the show, right?
Right.
Is
to, tell
to talk about things yeah. other people could relate to or might be interested in, right?
This is true.
Okay.
This is
so
exactly
I hope this,
what the
I hope this
show
fits
is
the
about.
Bill. Okay.
So what happened? What made you want to talk about this?
Well, a couple of things in the span of about a week. It just got me thinking about it. I was reading a book and there was a part in there about people accusing vegans of being judgmental when really all it is that we're doing is stating the truth.
And holding up a mirror. That's
and,
the problem.
And holding up a mirror. But yeah, I mean, just kind of, you know, with like the idea of saying, instead of saying eating meat, saying eating animals,
mm-hmm.
like that's what people do.
Right.
Who are not me and are you or right. Elliot. But a lot of people eat animals.
Mm-hmm.
But some people hear that and they think that that's just an automatically really judgmental statement. But that's not. It's just the truth.
Right.
And, you know, people eat corpses.
That's true. That's
and,
what they're eating.
But that can, I mean, but immediately you say, oh, you know, oh, you're a corpse eater instead of a meat eater. And there's all of this kind of connotation around it.
Well, and I don't think I've ever called anyone a corpse eater.
I don't think I have either. But is that because we're afraid of sounding judgmental?
No, I would. But that's never necessarily come up. I do always correct people when they say that they're a carnivore. I say, no, you're not. I say, you're an omnivore.
Yeah.
But, I think when people go vegan, they definitely, their language changes. And I do say eating animals, usually instead of eating meat.
Right.
So
no, I don't eat animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's important.
Not corpses.
Right. Well, because that sounds really harsh and like you're trying to pick a fight.
Hmm.
Just, I think.
Okay. Well, for me, it just seems like a weird thing. I mean, animals
bodies.
Are...
I don't
if
eat
I'm
bodies.
Thinking about, though, if you're thinking about what's going to make somebody think or what's... I mean, saying I don't eat corpses is kind of like a shocking thing to say versus I don't eat animals gives the animals value in a life.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess I would rather say I don't eat animals than I don't eat corpses.
Right.
Because animals, when I say animals, you get images of animals in your head, and usually cute ones like cats and dogs, quote unquote cute ones. And when you say corpses, I just think of like dead human. Like, I think of zombies. I think of a movie that Elliot would be making related to zombies.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and I would think that too. But that is the, I mean, when there is a human that is dead, that's a body
right.
or a corpse. And so I wonder, well, you know, is it, it's just not something that I think about a lot. I mean, a lot of us, I try not to use the word meat either, and I'd like to talk about the word meat in another episode entire, I mean, that's enough to talk about for quite a while. But in any event, so there was that. That
I want to talk about the term fake meat.
Oh, well, we should episode, talk about that.
Because it drives me nuts.
Okay, so, but you were asking me why I wanted to talk about this. So there, I was reading in a book. Some stuff came up. It got me thinking about it. And then also, I was at work. I work for the Animal Rights Coalition, and the Animal Rights Coalition owns a store that's a vegan store and
boutique.
It's a, yeah, vegan boutique. And, you know, so the, I'm there and I'm always, you know, trying to let people know that they're welcome to come anytime and talk, you know, talk to me about going vegan anytime. You know, that's what I'm there for. So a woman comes in a few minutes before closing, the other night, and she comes in and she says, I watched Earthlings the day before Thanksgiving, and then I had had Thanksgiving with my family, and it was awful, which I can just imagine would be awful.
Oh, gosh.
The day after watching
did
Earthlings.
Did you ask her why she did that?
Oh, no. Well, no. And then she's, you know, and then she said, and then I threw out all my dairy and I want to go vegan and I don't know what to do. So anyway, I was really excited that I was able to be there for her and talk with her. But one of the things that she mentioned was that she was really struggling with being judgmental of her family. And, you know, I guess I had a strong reaction to that just because of my own personal stuff. But I feel oftentimes like vegans are accused of being judgmental. Sometimes we are, sometimes we're not. But it feels like we're, I don't know, disproportionately accused of being judgmental compared to other groups of people. And I guess, do you have the definition of judgment over there?
I do.
And judgmental? Well, so what is the actual definition of judgmental?
Okay, the actual definition, well, there are many, but a formal utterance of an authoritative opinion, an opinion so pronounced, a formal decision given by a court, a divine sentence or decision, specifically a calamity held to be sent by God.
No, I'm not. I don't have any illusions about being a judge or God.
The process of forming an opinion or evaluation by discerning and comparing.
Yes.
An opinion or estimate so formed. The exercise of this capacity, the capacity for judging and the exercise of this capacity. A proposition stating something believed or asserted.
Yes. So, I believe something and I state such. I, like, have the audacity to assert my belief. And I don't know. I don't, but judgmental, I think those definitions don't really relate with my working definition of it, which pretty much is, I think, about people who are really self-righteous, mean.
Yeah.
Super duper, I don't know, angry or just kind of like a lot of
condescending,
negative.
Condescending, know-it-all kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm better than you. I'm better than you. Kind of feel coming off of somebody. So I think that, I mean, that's kind of the definition that I want to be using as we talk through the show. But I guess I just feel like people, even when I try really hard to make sure that I'm an approachable person or that I'm trying to be nice to people, I'm trying to differentiate, you know, the person with the activity, which isn't always easy, and I don't know if we should, I guess. It just gets kind of messy. I wanted to talk about it. But one of the things that came up for me was I was thinking, okay, well, I don't think that it's bad to be, you know, to have that dictionary definition of judgment in terms of, like, I believe that what you're doing is wrong. And what I was thinking about was, okay, if somebody, you know, if I walked by, you know, and I heard a woman screaming, I open a door, she's being raped in a room. Would I feel badly about myself for being really angry with the person raping her? You know, like, would I feel would I feel like, oh, I have to be so careful about how I, you know, how I conduct myself because I really don't want to offend this rapist. Or, you know, I really don't want to offend any child molesters out there when I'm trying to let them know that I don't agree with what they're doing. You know? Like, but thankfully we live in a world where the majority of people are not rapists. The majority of people are not child molesters, right? So, but we
but
also...
they are. They actually are when it comes to animals.
Well, that's the thing, is that we live in a world where the majority of people do abuse animals.
Right.
And so we do have to be conscientious, thoughtful, and intentional in how we conduct ourselves, how we communicate about this topic, and how we manage our emotions around it when in the presence of people who are still behaving this way, who are still carrying these actions out, or, you know, paying others to do so on their behalf. Because it's important that we, you know, really what matters is not that we make sure that they know that we disapprove of what they're doing, but actually reach them and get them to reconsider what they're doing.
Right.
So that whole judgmental thing seems to come, it just seems to show up in that space all the time. And so I wanted to talk about it a little bit.
I used to be very judgmental when I first went vegan because for me, it was like I learned what happened for us to eat animals. And so I stopped doing that. And when I first went vegan, I was so angry, which I think is the appropriate response to what's happening. You're angry. You're like, how can this be happening? How could I have not known this? How could I have participated in this my whole life?
Angry and horrified.
Right. And then you start telling people about it, and then you're more pissed that they don't care.
Yeah. Because
like, you're like, how can you not, like, and... Yeah, I was super judgmental. I was very, I don't know that judgment's the right word. It was more like, it wasn't an I'm better than you, but it was more like a, how can you know this and still do this? How can you know this and still participate in it? Which I guess is a judgment, but it wasn't like a, I'm better than you because I don't. It was a, how can you?
Yeah.
How can you continue doing this?
And that might be, that's a very, very fine line. And I guess, I did the exact same thing. I was absolutely furious. Because again, I thought like you, like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that this was happening. This is unacceptable. And as soon as people find out the truth, then, you know, they won't accept it either. They'll stop, you know, because that's right. Like, you know, I am coming down firmly on one side of a moral issue here.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect that other people whom I know are compassionate, intelligent, thoughtful, generous people, like that's who I know them to be in my life, I would expect them to come down on that same side with me once they know the truth. And it just boggled my mind that so many people didn't. And I was really angry about that because it... You know, A, yeah, how can you not care? How can you keep doing this once you know the truth? Why, you know, who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you, actually?
So maybe all these people that think that vegans are judgmental are all meeting new vegans. Like, I don't know.
But
it was probably, I would say for me, it was probably a good 6 months before the edge wore off. And I was still pretty... I can't even think of the right word. Adamant isn't the right word, but I was still pretty aggressive in my approach towards people, even though I wasn't trying to be as judgmental. But in my head, I still was like, how could you do this? How can you call yourself a good person and do this? But that's changed.
I also wonder, I mean, when I went vegan, it was the mid-90s. It was 1995. And back then, the style of activism was, meat is murder. meat is murder, milk is murder. Like, you know, people were screaming and there was bloody stuff everywhere and it was very shaming. It was like, we're just going to kind of rip the facade off of this sham mm-hmm. that is food production in our culture and kind of, you know, show you the nasty clown, but you know, it's like the McDonald's yeah. sort of thing, like rip off the happy thing. And then you got this crazy icky guy who's going to kill you underneath it. but so that was like the way that everybody was going about it. I also think about, okay, well, meat is murder. How you talk about that has a lot to do with how people, you know, how people hear it. Like how are we presenting that idea? Yeah. Killing an animal is murder. Yeah. Like when that animal does not want to, I mean, there, it's not like there's animal Dr. Kevorkians out there, you know, I mean, and then there's struggling with euthanasia and that sort of thing. But when you're killing somebody who does not want to die, you know, somebody who is not in irreparable suffering mode, like they're just not going to get better. If you don't take action, you know, they're going to suffer more than if you did. That's euthanasia. That's like mercy killing. But you just kill somebody no matter what species, you know, what species they are, that's killing. It's, I don't know. Do you have the definition of murder in the dictionary over there?
I can look it up.
So, I don't know. I mean, I just think maybe part of it is what's the affect like? What's the way that we're presenting our beliefs or ideas? Or
well, I think, okay, so first of all, murder is the crime of unlawfully killing a person, especially with malice. Something very difficult or dangerous. The example is the traffic was murder.
Oh.
Yeah, it only relates to
people. And a
group
of crows.
Yeah. I think why people probably feel that we are being judgmental is because most people think that they're good people. And when you present yourself as a vegan, what you're saying is, I am living my life to its ethical end, to as far as possible and practical, which is part of the definition of vegan.
Yeah.
I am living an ethical life to the best of my ability in every action that I have. And that makes people feel bad if they're not doing that. Even if they don't want to do it, it makes them feel like, because you are and they aren't, that makes them feel bad.
Yeah.
I mean, because they think they're good people. Not that they're not, but because they think they're good people, and you're saying, but look, you claim to be a compassionate person, and I know if you knew, you would never do this, or I know that you don't want to do this, but for whatever reason, you're continuing to not be vegan. So if you're not vegan, you're really not compassionate.
That's what they're hearing?
I think that's what people are hearing, even though you're not even saying that. Because the truth is, and you and I have had lots of conversations about this, because I, you know, I actually used to be worried about you judging me and about, I mean, and we're friends and I'm vegan, but I used to be worried about, you know, like, because there are some products in my home that aren't vegan. And so I would always try to, because my husband isn't. So I would always try to hide them. And, you know, because I didn't want, I mean, I was worried about being judged by you, which is silly because we're friends.
Yeah.
And also, I don't care. I mean, you drove a car here.
Yeah.
And you have a diamond ring.
Yeah.
And I mean, yes, you drive a smart car. And I believe your ring was a passed down, but
yep.
But there are always, like, everybody has to pick where their line is in the sand,
yeah,
of what makes them better, quote unquote, better than other people. And so, you know, you may be better than me because you're more vegan than me, or I may be better than you because, you know, I never use electricity, or Elliot may be better than us because he walks everywhere. Like, what makes someone better than somebody else? What makes someone doing better things? Like, it could always be turned around back on you. And so I think that's, you know, when I started thinking about what makes someone better than somebody else in a way that you could be judgmental, that's when I really stopped trying to, I guess, to make people feel judged, because that's certainly a tactic. I mean, to make people, to intentionally try to make people feel bad is definitely one way to go about it. But the fingers, you know, when you point a finger at someone, you've got four of them pointing back at you, or three of them, I guess. You know, there's always, someone is always doing something better or more ethical than what you're doing. You can't say, I'm better than you because I do this one thing, or that this group of things.
Yeah.
Did I go off on a weird tangent there?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just, how can I say this? I have been a lot better about recognizing the areas where I still need to grow. And I think that in talking with somebody about veganism, being willing to come forward and say, these are the areas where I am, that I still need to work on, being as upfront about that as possible, kind of makes you more approachable and seem less judgmental.
But it is hard, though, because you're like, these things that most of society participates in are unethical. Am I better than you? Because I don't do that? I don't know. Am I? Am I a better person?
Well, what?
Actually, I may regret this at a later date. I am a better person because I am living my life authentically. Because, and I don't.
But that doesn't give you the right to be mean or lord it over other people.
No, not at all. But and it's not even, I'm better than you, but I'm better. Maybe it's just, I am a better person because I'm living my values to their fullest extent.
Yeah. I think that's legitimate. I think that the difference...
But I don't look... But because of the reasons I already said, like, you know, the car that I drive or the lifestyle that I live, I don't think that I'm better than other people. But in that respect, I am technically a better person because I'm living my values compassion to their fullest.
Yeah, and that's the point is, I mean, I absolutely try to live my life and push myself to be a better person. Otherwise, why would we be doing this?
Right.
If we didn't care. And, you know, and again, that's why it comes down on a moral issue. Like, why is it that, you know, if morality is about a right and a wrong, there's really no other way to kind of go about that.
I mean, the world isn't black and white, but sometimes it's fun to try to break it down that way. I mean, is it wrong to cause suffering in any capacity? I mean, you can't say, I mean, you can, but you can't say.
When there's a, you know, a choice.
Is it wrong to cause intentional suffering when you wouldn't do it to this being? You know, you wouldn't hurt a dog, you wouldn't hurt a cat, but you would hurt, I don't know.
Well, I mean, we've had this conversation too, though. We've talked about just by virtue of being on the earth, we're causing suffering. Mm-hmm. We are destroying things.
Right.
But I think that it is important for us to be as responsible and conscientious about know, you know, about the impacts that we have.
Right.
And the consequences of our choices.
Right.
That is the game.
But I still, you know, and I think there are some people that, depending on your relationship, that you can kind of get away with things that are underneath it, a judgment. You know, for example, this year for Thanksgiving, I didn't spend it with my family. And I said to my mom prior to Thanksgiving, I wonder when the day will come that you'll look back and regret that you didn't get to spend this holiday. You didn't have these holidays. You don't have these memories with me because you wanted to eat turkey. You wanted to eat a bird. And I saw my mom the day after Thanksgiving, and she said, I didn't eat any turkey. I mean, obviously, she was still there, but she being the bird, she was still killed and cut up. But, you know, my mom didn't, and she's starting to get it. It's been a couple years now that she hasn't been able to spend certain holidays with me, and she's really starting to feel the impact of that. And I said, you know, when you have grandchildren, is that going to be different? And she said, absolutely. Which is funny. What, you care more about my unborn grandchildren than you care about me? but that she will pick that. She'll pick that family over the family that where there's going to be dead animals.
Huh.
And I feel like, but I can get away with talking to my mom like that.
I think that sounds really healthy.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that sounds bad. I don't know, maybe somebody else out there disagrees with me, but...
So, we actually asked Elliot right before we started recording if we made him feel judged or bad, because Elliot actually isn't vegan, which I don't know if... Did you want our listeners to know that? They do know.
The cat's out of the bag.
The cat is out of the bag. If you guys didn't catch Elliot's that from Elliot being thankful for the honey vice.
Yes.
But Elliot is not vegan, and, you know, but he has to spend all this time with us damn vegans complaining about.
Right. Talking very, very frankly about right. What we think.
Do you ever feel like we're judging you?
No, not really. And, you know, I'm maybe 75% vegan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm somewhere in the middle, but just not quite there. And it might be something that I end up doing eventually all the way. But, I went through the whole thing when I turned vegetarian, and you would tell people, oh, I don't eat meat, and then everyone tenses up, and it's this really weird situation.
But you said that you actually felt the opposite. Instead of
right.
other people feeling judged by you, you felt judged by sure. them.
Absolutely,
yeah. I wonder if that's because you're male.
Could be.
I wonder if, I don't know. What do you think, Dylan?
I don't know. I think, well, it's hard for me because I spend the majority of my time with other vegans. But pretty recently, I came into a community. I entered into a community at my martial arts school where I am a minority because most of the people there eat animals and I don't. And also because it's an athletic community. I do feel like, I think the biggest thing, it really doesn't happen very often, but it's like I was trying to explain my challenges with finding like focus mitts or tie pads mm-hmm. that were not leather. And like I really love my martial arts trainer. I think she's fantastic, but she was kind of like, you know, like kind of like rolling her eyes and sighing at me a little bit because she's like, we sell really great bag gloves here, you know, like I've seen you go through four pairs and yeah, it sucks. Like they're the bag gloves I have are not as good, you mm-hmm. know, like structurally or whatever, but I'm not going to compromise on that. And it just, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's one thing. And we haven't had like major conversations or anything, but I think that there's judgment. I do feel a little bit of that. Like when there isn't a deeper understanding of what this is really about, or maybe who I really am, you know, that it's not, and maybe new vegans struggle with that a little bit. Like, oh, is this just a phase? Like, are you trying to get attention? And why, you know, why do you need to be difficult? It was, and I really haven't felt that in a long time, but I was kind of self-conscious, like, oh, I don't even want to bring this up. I don't want to ask for help around this issue because I just don't want to get into it, you know? I do feel judged, but when I go into knitting stores and I'm looking for vegan yarn, I'm trying to like replace yarn with a different, you know, I go in with a pattern that calls for wool and I need something that isn't wool. And I try to explain it. A lot of knitters are very superior about like their fiber preferences and stuff. And, I don't have to deal with it very often.
So Elliot, what makes you, because you are still in this situation.
Right.
And presumably you have a lot of friends that are omnivores.
Many.
So what's that situation like? What is it that makes you feel judged? Just that they give you a hard time or?
Yeah, it's only when you talk about it. So typically I don't even say that I'm vegetarian. I just go until it comes up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just kind of leave that off the table. Pardon the pun, but
yeah,
you know, it's weird when you talk about it, everyone gets very serious for a second. So unless I have to mention it, I don't.
Are they just rude to you?
No, they seem very weird around you after that. And the questions they ask you are weird and they become quiet and it's, I always think it's like religion, you know, like when you tell a Catholic that you're atheist.
Right.
You see that look in their eye. They're like, oh, this person's going to hell. You know, and suddenly the mood changes.
Yeah.
And the tone of the conversation changes. So I try and just steer clear of it now. You know what I mean?
But I think it's interesting. Do you think that you're feeling they're judging you is maybe that they feel that you're judging them?
Right. And that's why I always just, when people ask, which inevitably they do, like, why do you not eat meat? I always just say health reasons, because that's something that most people are comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Because that sounds less judgmental, even though that's not maybe the
accurate, whole reason.
Right, that's not the whole story. Yeah. But you can kind of get away with that and just go on with other conversations.
Right.
So that's kind of the way I approach it now.
Yeah.
Just because it's easier.
Right. Yeah, and we all have different, I guess, desires, levels of desire to get into those sorts of things, and sometimes it's appropriate and sometimes it's not. I mean, I would normally never turn down an opportunity to give people as much information as they're willing to take, but when it came up in a work situation for me, I didn't say it was for health reasons, but I did, you know, when they asked me the few questions they did, I definitely talked about health.
Right.
So, you know, I definitely framed it in that sort of way just because in a work situation, I absolutely don't want to make anybody feel judged or alienated, even though at my work, you know, if it were to come up in a one-on-one conversation, I would certainly tell someone more than just, oh,
right,
you know, for health reasons.
Right.
But that's, yeah, you know, I've been doing this for such a long time. And I'm so comfortable with that. And I actually, you know, I don't care if it makes people uncomfortable.
Right.
Except it at right. work. But
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You have to kind of balance what are the consequences of having somebody relate to you as an uncomfortable person to be around?
Right.
Because they, you know, they might hear it from somebody else or whatever. But I've started to get really, really honest now, I mean, with strangers, not with people who I'm going to see again and again, but I've started practicing with strangers.
Hey, stranger, let me practice.
No, but I mean, just people that I don't think I'm going to be seeing again anytime soon.
Hmm.
I will talk about speciesism. That's where I go immediately. And I just say, you know, well, so, you know, okay, well, vegan, you know, why do you do that? And I say, okay, well, so you are familiar with the concept of racism and you're familiar with the concept of sexism, right? And they're like, yeah, yeah, of course. And I say, okay, well, I really care about speciesism. And I said, there was a time when racism was completely accepted and sexism was completely accepted as the norm. And right now we're in a time where speciesism is accepted, and that most people just take it for granted that they have, you know, they have this belief that we as human beings are better than every other species on this planet.
Well, not only and that I reject part of that. It, not only that part, but that any animal is better than another animal.
Well, yeah, or any, yeah, that any animal is better than another.
Or more worthy of.
Right. But I said, we live in a world where, you know, human beings just do whatever we want to with regardless of consequences. You know, we do not have to, and I don't think that's right. Mm-hmm. So I do what I can to challenge that and abstain from that in my own life. And that's, you know, I know that it's a really new concept on the scale of social justice movements, but, you know, I consider ethical treatment of animals to be a social justice issue, and that's something I really care about. And a lot of people, you know, nod their heads and like, oh, yeah, oh, okay. And then I've essentially just given basically an abolitionist little, you know, 30-second elevator speech to somebody, and have, you know, now they have an opportunity to think about their relationship with other species in a new way, or how they look mm-hmm. at, you know, they are thinking about species as...
That's actually a really great way to approach that, because then it's not about, you know, what you're not doing and what they're doing. It's just like that society.
This is an ideology.
Does this, right. And it isn't, yeah. And it isn't about you being superior to that person because of your actions. It's an ideology.
Yeah. Somebody who's
great.
Really cares about nonviolence and tries to practice nonviolence in my life. And this is, you know, another way that I do that. And it's been amazing with how receptive people are to it when I talk. And it really doesn't take long. I mean, I just explained it right here. That's how mm-hmm. long it takes. You don't have to get into this huge diatribe about things. And it's been pretty, I've been happy with the results of that. It's been pretty good. So,
awesome.
And then if they have more questions, then we're happy to, you know, I'm happy to talk about that. But that's just my basic spiel. I listen to that a few times, guys, and practice it at home.
Or do whatever you're comfortable with.
Or do whatever you're comfortable with, yeah.
Where if you are comfortable making people feel bad about themselves, well, that's not necessarily a good representation of vegans as a whole. You know, I want to know who these jerky vegans are that make everyone else think that this is what vegans are like. You know, whatever the X thing is, that all vegans are this or all vegans are this. Like, who are these people? Because, gosh, 99% of the vegans I know are terrific people. And they're, I mean, even if I'm not great, great friends with them because we don't have a lot in common, they're good people.
Yeah.
And also they're not waif. They're not sickly looking. They're not mean. Who are these people encountering?
I think it's hard to not come off as judgmental just when talking about animal rights stuff. That's just kind of inherent to the movement. You know
well,
what I, mean?
I don't think that that's necessarily anything that we're doing though.
Right. Right.
I think that's how people are hearing
yes.
us. And yeah. you know, we can do all we can. I think that that's important for us to be aware of how people are hearing us,
mm-hmm.
you know, or how they might be, so that we can do our best to counter that. Or, you know, sometimes it helps when I go and I talk about sometimes I like to say what it is that I don't believe. I'm like, okay, so I am not PETA. You mm-hmm. know, like, I do not throw paint on people. I do not stand outside naked. You know,
I do.
You know, like, those are not, that's not what I do as an activist. You know, that's what I do is have conversations with people. Like, that's essentially, it's not glamorous, it's not sexy, and, you know, it's hard. But that is what I believe is ultimately going to really make a lasting difference, is having conversations with people and getting them to start playing with looking at the world in different ways.
I think, though, there's still sexism rampant. There's still racism. And I think, you know, I would not for one second feel bad about calling someone and making a racist or a sexist comment.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel bad about that at all. And I wouldn't feel bad about calling someone on making a comment that was vegan offensive either.
Right.
But, you know, just, I don't know that you can ever, no matter how careful you are, because everyone is so different in how they process things and their communication style. I don't know that there's no perfect way that you can say something to somebody without making them feel judged, because you can't ever know what place somebody is in. I mean, you know, like, I felt judged by you and you didn't even do any, like, you didn't do anything. And I was worried about being judged by you. You didn't do anything. And now I'm not, because I'm just like, well, we're friends, and that's silly that I even felt that way. Yeah. But,
well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I think in my overall point in talking about it was just to kind of say, like, oh, this is something that I think that we wrestle with, whether we acknowledge it or not. Mm-hmm. And it comes up a ton. And maybe if we give it a little bit of thought and think about it and talk about it a little, it'll not, you know, I don't know what exactly will come out of it, but I don't think that we're going to completely eradicate the problem altogether just from our little podcast. We're going to have a revelation, but...
Sometimes we do.
Sometimes we do.
Sometimes you say things that make me think of things I'd never thought of before.
Cool. That's my goal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess that's... I think that...
That is the... You know what? I think that is the... That's why we have such a good dynamic, though. Because you've been vegan for so long that you have so much knowledge and experience. And I've been vegan for a shorter period of time, so I have more relevant experience to what it's like to go vegan in this time period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because things were so different when you went vegan.
They were. Yeah, they were. And also, I went vegan when I was 15, and that's just a crazy time anyway. I mean, whoa.
Yeah.
Teenage. Whoa.
I can't even imagine how dramatic you were.
Yeah, it was. I was pretty dramatic. I was angry and, yeah, but.
You couldn't possibly be more dramatic than Elliot, though. Elliot's very dramatic. Just always so, so much drama.
He is such a diva.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
Well, he just made us change the TV. He didn't want to watch football, so.
I don't have any complaints about that. So, can we go on to our product review?
Do let's.
Cool.
Product review. Product review. We're gonna do a product review.
Yeah!
So, our product review for this episode is Karma Healing Solutions, and we are super, super excited to talk about them because we've got some special stuff that we alluded to earlier on Facebook,
alluded to, because that's past tense in and of itself, right?
Okay, that I alluded to on Facebook. So KarmaHealingSolutions.com is a website where you can get... This is a product review that isn't food.
We do that sometimes.
Well, so they have great products that are kind of like aromatherapy based. Well, I shouldn't say kind of. They are, in fact, aromatherapy based. So I was working with Allison, who is the woman behind the scenes, and we've got a super, super awesome deal for you guys. Until December 31st, so just in time for holiday shopping, Allison was kind enough to give our listeners a 15% discount. So you type in the code at checkout veganradio, and you will get a 15% discount on anything that you buy from her website. So we had the opportunity to try some of her aromatherapy oils. And so they're like a, what do you call that?
Roll-on?
Like a rollerball thing. And she sent us some, a tranquil sleep one, instant calm and happiness were kind of similar scents. And, why can't I think of what it's called? It's the one I don't have in front of me. Deep breaths. I think it was related to,
sinuses.
Yep. Sinus stuff. So, and boy, like, did that stuff work well for cleaning out the nose? Because I would just put a little bit, like, I'd roll a little bit right on under my nose. And when I was stuffy, and suddenly I could breathe. Yeah. And it was really nice. Now, I just would kind of, like, put it all over the place just to kind of continue to smell it. I'd put on pulse points and stuff. Where did you just stick it under your nose?
You told me, well, I initially put it on my wrists because mm-hmm. that's just what I do. And then you told me to put some on my nose. And I said, I don't want to. And then I said, okay, I will. And I did. And, cause I don't know anything about this stuff and how it works. So, so I
you
did
being
that.
The natural one out of the two of us.
The natural one?
Well, you're the one that like you.
I don't drink or do caffeine or something. What?
Well, that and, you know, you don't necessarily like go for aspirin or things
no,
like that.
No, but that doesn't mean that I use natural remedies either. It just
but
means that I
be.
Suffer. I'm the dumb one.
Because now you know, because Allison sent us all this great product.
Yeah. So I think I had instant happy, mm-hmm. I think. I mean, in all honesty, it smelled good. I can say that. But I don't know. I don't know that I was instantly happy. I liked it.
Well, I think the point of that is
I felt
to
kind
be...
of funny rolling a thing on my nose. But, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to diss the product. I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't, in terms of aromatherapy stuff, like, in theory, I get that lavender is supposed to calm you down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in theory, I get that what, eucalyptus or mint is supposed to clear your mind or make you feel more invigorated or something. And I like the ideas of those things. I don't know if they have much of an effect on me. I just kind of trust. I don't know.
I think
I like the ritual of them.
Well, that's. I mean, I will speak to the ones that I used further in a moment, but because I definitely had a different experience. But I think the point is when you're using aromatherapy type products. It's about being mindful. And so you're maybe in a stressful situation and you're mindfully, you know, applying this scent or smelling this smell that is intended or has properties that help to calm you down or make you feel better. Just it's almost kind of like a yoga thing. Like, you know, it's just about doing this intentional thing. And the smells, you know, back that thing up. I definitely noticed using the sinus stuff. I feel like a moron because I can't exactly remember what the kind was called. I think it's called Deep Breaths. And, I mean, it really, really worked. I mean, I couldn't, you know, when I was stuffy, I put it under my nose and I could breathe. So I think that you were using one that wasn't necessarily like for...
Wasn't a, like a remedy.
Right. Wasn't kind of. Not as much of a remedy. And the other one that I used was called Tranquil Sleep. And that one, I have a little sleepy mask that I sleep with on my face, like a, you know, thing that covers your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would actually just roll a bunch of it. I'd put some under my nose. And the website talks all about the ancient wisdom and the science behind aromatherapy. There's testimonials and all sorts of other things. It's a beautiful website. But, you know, if you went onto the website, you'd learn more about placement of the
right.
product and, you know, where to use it effectively. But I would just put it a little bit under my nose. I'd put some on my temples just because I like to do that. And I'd put some on my little sleepy mask thing. And oh, it knocked me right out. And I mean,
I want to try that.
Well, I'll send it home with you.
I would love to try that, especially when I wake up at 5:30 in the morning and I cannot get back to sleep.
Well, and that's, you know, the trouble with when we're trying and, you know, wanting to share products with people that aren't food, it's not necessarily something we can both try at the same time when it's for specific things. Like,
yeah.
If you're not going to call me up and be like, hey, I have a stuffy nose, run that stuff over.
Or, I should.
Or I'm having trouble sleeping at 3 a.m. Can you bring over that tranquil sleep stuff? So, you know, we both have busy lives and it's
sure
kind of hard to connect and pass things around. But at any rate, I really enjoyed using the products. I really liked the sleep stuff. I'm happy to pass it on to you for you to use. I normally take melatonin to sleep, and I mean, this stuff, and melatonin is natural anyway. I mean, that's, your body produces melatonin, that's, you know, helps you sleep. But I would rather not have to put something in my body, even if it is a quote-unquote natural thing, if I can just smell something and it makes me feel more peaceful or more sleepy or able to breathe. I'd much rather roll a little thing under my nose than take DayQuil.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
I would, too.
You know, so she's got a bunch of products online. And again, the website is really, really beautiful. And you can buy some for you. I would encourage you to do that. You can also buy stuff for other people. Great gifts. So she's got, there's some that are sprays, some that are the roll-on things. Some are just essential oils. There's body wash and hand soap. And she's got it kind of broken down into, you know, if you are looking for sleep products, if you're looking for bath soaps, if you're looking for energy and focus and memory stuff, if you're looking for stress relief or depression, if you're looking for stuff for yoga, sinus stuff, foot scrubs, whatever, all these different things, natural pain relief. So she's got all these great products, you know, but we chose to focus on the aromatherapy scent stuff because, I mean, you know, what good does it do us to talk about, you know, a bath soak? I mean, bath soaks are a dime a dozen, they're everywhere, and you should absolutely try hers because, you know, the products that we tried are amazing, but we thought it'd be fun to focus on kind of natural remedy
sure
type stuff. Not that you couldn't get some remedy benefit from
I
a bath
I do have
soak,
some strong opinions on bath soaks, though.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I will opinion you up and down on those.
Okay. Well, then I know what I'm getting you for. What do you want? Hanukkah or Christmas?
I don't know.
I suppose you probably want Hanukkah because then I have to give you 8 presents.
No, you don't.
I'm not giving
need
you 8 presents.
That.
I'm not Jewish. You're going to get 1 if you're lucky. Just kidding.
That's okay. So, okay, Karma Healing Solutions.
Yep, karmahealingsolutions.com is the website. Oh, I totally forgot about this. How could I forget about this? This is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So, Allison at Karma Healing Solutions is so generous. She is giving one of our listeners $50 worth of product. And so what will happen is all you need to do is like their Facebook page. And, of course, we'll link to that on the website, the show page for us, so that you can find her easily. And we'll also post that on Facebook when the episode goes live. And, yeah, all you need to do is comment on her page. And a week after this episode airs, she's going to select a winner.
You might want to mention Midwest Vegan Radio.
Yes. Well, yes.
So that she
comment
knows.
On her, like the like their Facebook page, comment on, you know, comment that, you know, you heard about them from Midwest Vegan Radio, and then she'll pick a winner and contact you and let you know. I imagine she'll just give you a checkout code or something like that. But we're so excited about that because that is a really, really awesome, crazy prize. I mean,
that's awesome. It is. Thank you.
I want to win $50, but I don't think that I'm probably not eligible. Do you think?
I don't think we're eligible.
I don't know. Elliot, are you eligible?
It's just no.
One of the many hardships we endure for you people.
So, yes. And on Facebook, they're just Karma Healing Solutions.
Yep.
So, like their page, comment that you heard about them, and a week after the episode airs, she'll pick a winner. But, you know, these are the perfect kind of products for those people, like the relatives that you have to get something for, but you just don't know what to get, you know, because they've got all the money they need and everybody.
That's what we should do. We should have people go to our Facebook page and say, I don't know what to get my brother-in-law. What should I get them? And then we can solve that problem for our listeners.
Exactly. Yep. And I did, you know, when Allison and I were working this out, we talked about products for men too, because I think everybody's got that uncle, like, you know, or that cousin or some, that one guy. And they do have a lot of scents that are appealing.
I've got that grandpa-in-law.
Yeah. Scents that are appealing to men. Sandalwood is one of the biggest sellers and things like that. So they have definitely products that are man-friendly that you can get. So, but 15% off of everything. So, you know, great.
Go do it.
Great stuff for the person that you don't know what, the person that would buy themselves whatever they wanted anyway, but they wouldn't necessarily indulge in like a nice bath soak or, you know, a nice body wash or something, that they just get the cheap crap from Target or whatever that isn't necessarily vegan. And this is, so.
I love giving Bath & Body products for holidays because then I imagine that I'm just, well, everybody can use it. It doesn't stick around forever. And I imagine that I have just thwarted a purchase that may not have been vegan.
What?
Like if they were going to buy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Irish Spring
soap. Yeah, they were
going to
buy soap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they don't need to.
That's a good way to look at it too.
Yeah, I'm sneaky like that.
Yeah, so we're really excited.
Okay. Time for the green challenge.
Yay!
It's time for the green challenge.
Green challenge.
Green challenge.
There's no gloves. There's no swords.
No white suits.
Uh-uh. It's just green challenge.
You're just doing the earth a solid.
All right, I think I love this one. I love this green challenge.
You love all the green challenges.
I know, I love
what green challenge
green
don't
challenge.
You like?
Well, yeah, I guess that's a good point. Because I get to pick them, and this is just so cool. So, I love it because you can do this one time, and you never really have to think about it again, and it will just continue to make a difference every day and forever. And I'll tell you why. So, the green challenge is to take a bottle, like a glass, probably a glass bottle, a juice bottle or something. I guess you could do plastic too. A bottle with a lid or a cap on it. Fill the bottle with water, like a juice jug or something, and put it in your toilet tank. And so it displaces a certain amount of water in the toilet tank so that when you flush the toilet, you are not using that amount of water because you don't need that much. So if you can't afford a toilet that has a fancy, like, fancy dual flush toilet that you can choose how much water you want to use, this is just a cheap way to do that. And it's really, really easy. So, you know, you'll just have to maybe, I think that probably the best way to do this is like flush the toilet when the tank goes down, set the bottle in so that when it fills up again, you know, you're not like overflowing.
Isn't it going to float anyway though?
No, because you filled the bottle with the bottle with water. So that's.
Yeah, but if I stuck my bottle of water in water, wouldn't it float?
No, you need to fill it completely. There's no air in it.
Oh,
you fill your bottle completely to the top.
Shows how much I paid attention in science class.
So, yeah. And then when you move, don't take it out. Just leave it there.
And no one will ever know.
The person will probably not notice, and if they do, then oh well, maybe they'll just leave it there. But yes, it's a fantastic green challenge. It's easy. You just do it one time and then you're set. It's cool. I don't really have anything else to say about it. That's just that simple. So
that sounds awesome.
What do you think, Elliot?
I'm gonna do it.
Cool. Cool. All right, so that's your green challenge.
Woohoo! So I think we got some shout-outs. We have a lot of shout-outs.
We always have shout-outs. Let's go quick.
We got a lot of them today.
Okay.
Shout-out!
First, I want to get Midwest Vegan Radio. Midwest Vegan Radio.
Do you still have apples in your mouth?
No, okay. I don't. I just, my tongue decided not to work. Okay. Midwest Vegan Radio wants to shout out to Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Hello.
We want to let people know about Ben's website. What's the website?
It is veganfeed.com. So vegan and then FEED.com.
Yep.
And we'll link it on the blog.
Yeah, veganfeed.com. Midwest Vegan Radio is now listed on veganfeed.com, but mm-hmm. you can also go there and you can find other vegan podcasts, video blogs or video casts, mm-hmm. Just blogs in general, news, all things vegan related. God,
your tongue still isn't working.
Mouth.
Work with me here.
Pay attention.
pay attention, mouth.
Pay attention, mouth.
Trying to have a conversation here.
The other thing too is that Ben makes sure that anything that goes on veganfeed.com is all abolitionist in nature, which we at Midwest Vegan Radio,
we care about that.
Really care about that, and we think that's awesome. So, and you should too.
Right.
Really? I mean, hey, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Because what else do you expect from us? So go check out veganfeed.com. And Ben, thanks so much for adding us and for doing what you do.
Yeah. And I'm going to actually read a little bit of his email. My tongue's decided to stop working.
Good.
So in addition to Ben letting us know that he was sharing our podcast on his site, he said, I also want to say hi. I've been vegan for 5 years and I'm a web developer who wanted to do something for the cause and thought, what better than a site that brings all the best vegan media sources together? Podcasts and blogs really helped inspire, educate, entertain, and provide companionship when I went vegan. And still to this day, I get you, Ben. I get you. I'm always suggesting shows to new and longtime vegans, so I wanted to also include a way to suggest a particular podcast to a friend. Say you wanted to share Colleen's podcast on wool, you can click to share that episode and put in a friend's email address. So that's awesome.
Awesome. See, I really think we need more vegans who are web designers, web developers, graphic designers, like professionals. I want more professional vegans.
Can I finish his email?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I just, I never miss an opportunity to rant on that.
So, he goes on to say, thrilled that you guys are abolitionist. I am myself, and you won't be finding links to PETA or Welfare Center blogs or podcasts on Vegan Feed. Whoop, whoop. You can find him also at the Vegan Feed on Twitter, and he's going to be going the Facebook route at some point, too. He says, I have been a big podcast listener, but hadn't listened to yours until today. Really great stuff. You guys are fun to listen to. And so that's what Ben has to say.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome.
We think that Ben is doing a really great service for people.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of awesome podcasts out there.
The only thing I'm going to ask is, Ben, please get on Facebook soon.
Yeah, do that.
Because I don't understand Twitter.
We have Twitter.
Nobody does.
I know. I just do not really get it. I have tried and I'll try again, but I just prefer Facebook. It's more intuitive for me.
Why not?
Okay.
So, yeah.
How about, what do you have over there?
So I have, okay, this is going to be kind of weird. Leslie from France, this is for you. And I am going to destroy this translation, but I'm really going to try. And if I get the words wrong, I hope you'll know what I'm saying. Leslie sent us an email. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to just read some of it. She says, hi, wanted to say thank you. I was doing my laundry early and started to listen to episode 16. I'm so late, I know. And after a few minutes, I told myself, you were so right. I have to take time for myself. So, you know, when in talking about doing stuff that makes you feel good.
Self-care.
And so she was feeling like she was neglecting herself, so she decided to listen to the podcast while going on a run to change her mind from what was going on in her life. And so, thanks again. I really needed that. And then she says, this is questionable. By the way, you probably already tried this, but eat raw grated beets mixed with grated carrots and a little orange vinaigrette or beet juice, or grated beets in a delicious, healthy muffin.
Yeah, I can see it in the muffin. I'm going to give those a try. I haven't gotten around to it yet, but I will. But you're the one who's...
I could do the carrots. I could see, like, carrots and zucchini. But you know how I feel about beets. And the orange vinaigrette sounds really good.
Well, that's the thing, is you just... a little bit.
Okay. So, Leslie, I'm going to try this. I'm going to say it's slow. I'm going to sound like a moron. Okay.
Think positive, Ryan.
Yeah, but I'm trying to say a long sentence, long two sentences in French.
You can fake it.
But definitely. I haven't even practiced this. Nous sommes désolés d'apprendre votre chien et grand-mère. Nous pensons à vous tous les jours et nous vous aimons.
Good luck, Leslie.
If you want to know what I was trying to say, if that did not translate well, you have our email address.
Will you tell me later?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
I already told you this.
No, I don't know.
Well, okay.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, I've got one.
Okay.
So I have a shout out for Amanda Erickson. And Amanda was awesome and sent us a card, which was so sweet.
She did.
She did. Except, okay, so the card, it has a picture of a Buddha kind of image on there, like a sculpture. Whenever I read these, like, really profound Buddhist sort of zen-y cards, I always just, they just make me feel kind of small. Because, listen to this, it says, "We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world." Seriously? Aww. I mean, I know that sounds very profound and, like, self-wise and
shit. And she snail-mailed this to us.
Yeah, I know. It's all wise
so
and
shit. So sweet.
But really, I guess I gotta practice the kinds of things that I think. Because I think some pretty stupid things sometimes, or just really ridiculous things. And I think, oh, I should be thinking more deeply. I should be thinking better things. Because if my thoughts are what I am, and the world is what I think, we're screwed. So that's why I rely so much on actions. And I mean, yeah, not to diss. It
okay,
just got
you just
me thinking.
Rambled. Do you want to talk about the rest of the?
No,
comment?
I want to say what I think about this.
All
so,
right, say.
I mean. I think that actions mean a lot. I mean, if you just think, oh, I feel bad about eating animals, well, then stop doing it. Actions matter too.
I think what maybe that means is that our thoughts turn into our actions.
I hope so.
It's Buddhist, so yeah.
I guess I'm just not that deep, which is case in point. But maybe I'm thinking too hard about this card.
Do you want to just talk more about the inside?
About Peaceful Table?
Sure.
And
how about what she wrote inside?
Oh. "Dear Ryan, Dallas, and crew, love the podcast. Amanda." That's easy.
That's deep.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the simplicity. Okay, Peaceful Table. That is the blog, right?
Mm-hmm. Peacefultable.blogspot.com is her blog.
So go check that out.
Yeah, and she's got recipes. And what do vegans love?
Recipes.
Not necessarily even cooking them, but just looking at and drooling over the other things that people are making. And recently she put up a vegan queso dip.
Will you make it for me?
That's probably not going to happen.
I know.
It calls for Daya. I've got some.
Ooh.
Yeah, and she's got photos, too, which is awesome. And she's got them broken down into categories like artichokes or blackberries, appetizers, things like
oh,
that.
Oh, that's
beans.
Really yeah. cool. I really like it, that idea about being able to look up what you actually have that you need to use and find a recipe that way.
Yeah.
So that's
brilliant. I assume that, you know.
Brilliant, Amanda.
In these categories, she just tagged her posts. And
I think that's really great.
Yeah. It's a beautiful blog. So, and she also sent us a couple cute little postcards and comics and a donation. And so, thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay.
This next Lay it one on me.
Is from Shannon Johnson. Shannon says, first, I love your podcast. Well, we love you. I'm originally from Southeast Minnesota, now living in Southeast Ohio. So I love your podcast. I listened to your podcast today on vegan, non-vegan dating and thought it was great. I wanted to share my vegan, well, non-vegan dating story. I went vegan about a year ago after being vegetarian for about 4 years. At that time, my boyfriend of 3 years was a full-fledged meat eater, although our home was always vegetarian. When I went vegan, he was okay with taking out any non-vegan food out of our home, but still ate a lot of meat, dairy, and eggs outside the home. About 6 months ago, he decided to stop eating meat all on his own without any specific comments from me. I was always sure to tell him about good books and take him to quote-unquote vegan movies like Forks Over Knives. We also adopted a cat, which was his first pet, and which may have helped. More recently, I've noticed that he orders vegan when we are dining out, so I think he might make the change over to veganism eventually. It is important to me that he doesn't feel pressured and makes the decision on his own. It also helps that we live in a progressive college town where we can get vegan pizza delivered until 4 a.m. almost every day. Well, heck yes, that helps. Thanks, and love your podcast, Shannon. And, yeah, we think that that's really awesome.
Yeah.
That her partner is going that route.
And absolutely. Treats her respectfully.
We absolutely like that a whole lot. So, we also have Facebook shout-outs.
Oy.
So many today.
Yeah,
but we love
really.
It. Yeah. We love to hear from you.
Okay, Andrea Wilson would like to shout out to her friend Sally. Sally's a new vegan who's taken the vegan activist world by storm.
Woo!
She re-inspires and re-energizes me every day. And yes, that's awesome. Yay, Sally.
Yay.
Cool.
Can we get a yay, Sally, Elliot?
Yay, Sally.
Oh, say it like you mean it.
Yay, Sally.
That's how Elliot means it.
I think Elliot's tone is just like, you can't ever...
No, it's sincere.
That's... Elliot is the director.
Yeah.
Okay. Danelle, I'd like to give a shout out to my hubby, Raheem, because he has been nothing but supportive of his newly vegan wife. And to you ladies and Elliot for being amazing.
Woohoo!
Woo! Mm-hmm. Way to go, Raheem. Chris Ann says...
This is the last one, right?
Yeah. Shout out to the Chicago Diner for making a fantastic vegan Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, I had asked her to bring back leftovers for us. But
jealous.
Yeah.
Jealous much? Me? Yes.
I don't think she's bringing anything back for us. Not fair, but nevertheless, awesome that Chris Ann was able to
get. So, Chicago Diner, if you're listening, it's never too late. You can still feed us Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We'll accept it.
Yeah. I won't turn any food down. Well, there's lots of food I turned. I wouldn't turn any vegan food down.
Right.
I'm no fool.
I don't really think of non-vegan food with my air quotations I'm doing right now as food.
Well, that's true.
And I don't know.
So
it's perversion.
Leslie, if you want to send us some of these muffins you're talking about, I don't know that you could, like, mail them from France, could you?
You're talking about, wait, what muffins?
Muffins. The muffins that Leslie was talking about with the beets and the grated beets and the...
Oh, yeah, that was Leslie.
Yeah.
I'm getting our fans mixed up. Sorry, ladies. Yeah, I don't know how that would work out, but...
But if you want to mail us some vegan muffins, we'll allow it.
I will allow it. Yeah, I'll eat it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for shoutouts.
That's all we got.
So, till next time.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.